Speaking of veterans and soldiers in modern conflicts, as we heard earlier, Australia is increasing its military commitment to Iraq and the fight against ISIS. 300 Australian soldiers will work alongside New Zealand counterparts on a joint mission to train the Iraqi military in the fight against Islamic State. Prime Minister Tony Abbott flatly denies this added deployment amounts to mission creep.
So I don't see this as a dramatic change. I just see this as a continuation of the mission that we began in about September last year to, with our allies, help disrupt, degrade and ultimately destroy the Daesh or ISIL death cult, because this is a fight, Michael, which is reaching out to us here in Australia.
That's Tony Abbott speaking speaking this morning. The deployment of these extra troops to Iraq has the qualified support of the opposition, but the Greens have branded it, quote, another ill-advised captain's call by the Prime Minister. And the independent member for Denison in Tasmania, former soldier and intelligence analyst Andrew Wilkie, says the Australian deployment will do nothing to help solve the crisis in Iraq. Andrew Wilkie joins us in our Parliament House studios. Andrew Wilkie, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Now, the Prime Minister is at pains to point out that we're sending these extra soldiers on a training mission, not a combat mission. They'll be, quote, behind the wire at all times, according to the Prime Minister. Are you reassured at all by that limited nature of the scope of this deployment?
Fran, not at all. This is clearly mission creep. It started with the deployment of a range of aircraft into the Middle East region, now operating over Iraq. It then was escalated to a couple of hundred special forces that had been on the ground for some time. And now the news of 300 more. And I note that when the Prime Minister addressed the media yesterday, he did not rule out the dispatch of more Australian Defence Force personnel. Frankly, Fran, I think this is a bad decision by the government. It will not help solve the crisis in Iraq. What it will do is increase the likelihood of a homegrown terrorist attack on our soil by disaffected Muslims within this country who will see this as quite an inflammatory move.
Well, the Prime Minister says you can't have security at home without doing your bit for security abroad. In fact, it'll make us safer, he said, not more dangerous, as you're saying.
Well, the flaw in the Prime Minister's logic there is that these are not terrorists that are originating in Iraq or Syria. The threat now in this country is from disaffected Australian citizens who are cranky with a succession of governments, in fact, over Australian foreign and security policy.
Well, no, that's not quite true, isn't it? We know that some of these young people who are issuing threats on the ground in this country and travelling overseas to fight are supporters of IS. That's quite clear.
No, they're Australian citizens who are going, leaving Australia, going over there to fight and then returning. The point being, they are homegrown terrorists. They're Australian citizens. Hence this whole conversation now about the rights and wrongs of stripping someone of their Australian citizenship. So these are Australians. They are people in our midst. They are people that are becoming increasingly agitated because of what a succession of Australian governments have done over 12 or more years now. Remember, it was Australia that helped start this 12-year war when we joined in the invasion in March 2003. I'd make the point, Fran, that if there are to be any foreign soldiers on the ground in Iraq, then they really should be Muslim soldiers, probably from countries in the Middle East region. Although even that is a difficult argument to make anymore, because when you consider how many thousands of foreign trainers, how many billions of dollars have been spent trying to train the Iraqi army over the last 12 years, and we find that they are still a decrepit and ineffective force, you do wonder whether a force such as the Iraqi army is even trainable.
Yeah, but to keep with this question of, is that a justification for not getting involved? As the Foreign Minister reminded us just before the news, the Iraqi government has asked for Australian soldiers to go and help out. And last week on this program, we spoke to the President of the International Crisis Group, Jean-Marie Gueno. And I'd just like you to listen to what he said on this issue.
If you don't engage with the world, the rest of the world will engage with you and not on the terms you would want it to engage. I think in a connected world, you don't have the luxury to isolate yourself. But what you need to do is to calibrate your engagement.
In a connected world, isolationism is not acceptable. What's your response to that?
Well, Australia has already given up a certain amount of its sovereignty to the United States government on security matters, and I would hope that we're not now going to give up our sovereignty to the Iraqi government and use the fact that they've invited us to return as as justification for us, in fact, returning.
But I mean, what about this point that he was making there, that you don't have, countries don't have the luxury of just standing back and saying it's nothing to do with me, that we are in this connected world, and that's really what the Prime Minister is saying.
But, Fran, we've got to look at the problem and ask ourselves, what is the best way to solve the problem? So what is the best way to solve the problem on the ground in Iraq? What is the best way to reduce the security threats to Australia, Australian interests overseas, and Australians within our own borders?
So what's the answer to that?
Well, regrettably, you know, this is one of the reasons we shouldn't have helped start this war 12 years ago, because we now have a mess where there's no where there's no good solution. The only certainty is that Iraq won't find stability until it's eventually allowed to find its own natural political level. And that may be an Iraq that looks quite unfamiliar to us in the West, with a form of government perhaps quite unpalatable to us in the West, but it will only be able to find that stability when, as I say, it finds its own natural political level after a terrible bloodletting. Now, I'm not
advocating. But it is a terrible bloodletting. I mean, there is a moral dimension to this. Islamic State is a barbaric operation. They behead people, they crucify people, they enslave women, they rape women. Is it really enough for a country like Australia saying, well, this is sort of part of the stabilisation, or, you know, Iraq trying to find its feet politically, which it didn't do under Prime Minister al-Maliki. I don't know if you can blame the West entirely for that. But that we can just therefore do nothing about it and let them sort it out.
Well, Fran, no one is disputing that Islamic State is a horrid organisation made up of horrid people committing unspeakable crimes. But I make the point again, this is one of the reasons we shouldn't have prodded the hornet's nest 12 years ago and started this terrible mess. I mean, let's face it, I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record, but Australians need to be mindful of the history here. When 12 years ago we joined in the invasion of Iraq, we started a war that created the environment for the emergence of all sorts of problems, inter-tribal rivalry, inter-religious rivalry, intra-religious rivalry, secular rivalry, criminal gangs, neighbours getting even.
And that is true. We got rid of a despotic strongman in Saddam Hussein, and the secular tensions emerged. That's what's happened. Since then, there have been elections in Iraq. The Prime Minister failed to get any kind of inclusive government operating. That's the root of the problem right now, isn't it, in the last few years?
Well, it's part of the problem. Of course, the other part of the problem is that the West, including Australia, gave strong support, at least diplomatic support in Australia's case, to the Syrian rebels, against the advice of a lot of members of the Syrian community in Australia, I would add, including in my own electorate. And out of the Syrian rebels has emerged the Islamic State, which has now moved across the border and causing the problems that it is. I mean,
Libya and even in Afghanistan.
And that's right. Now, Frank and I, we're talking about Iraq, obviously, and Syria at the moment. But, of course, the Prime Minister in his pitch yesterday linked this directly to Australian security. So we've also got to ask ourselves, what is in our nation's best interest? What is the best way to improve the security outlook for Australia, both overseas and within our borders? And I tell you what, just as we increase the terrorist threat within Australia by becoming involved in the Middle East 12 years ago, so too we are increasing the terrorist threat currently by sending troops back into that country.
So how do we decrease that? That's the issue that I think most Australians are grappling with now. What do we do?
Well, I think we should be using making every effort to encourage Middle East regional countries, Muslim countries, to offer practical assistance to the Iraqi government. You know, we can apply diplomatic pressure. We can actually assist those countries in a material way. But I think the presence of the renewed presence of larger numbers of Western troops will just add to the resentment in that country, which is part of the problem at the moment.
Andrew Wilkie, thank you very much for joining us again on Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Andrew Wilkie is the independent member for Denison. It's 8:15 on Breakfast.